fancy masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan, where I may or may not have told Corey about a segment and he stuck his tongue out and gave me a thumbs down, which hurt my feelings.
You seem to like this other segment idea more, so
I
that's
do.
On you.
We have brainstormed this segment for zero amount of time. Corey told it to me maybe 35 seconds ago, and I said, oh, I love it.
But you created it maybe 45 seconds ago.
There you go.
So,
all right. So the segment we are now completely changing to, what is your biggest Micah Parsons conspiracy theory? Now, we say conspiracy theory because hopefully we can have a little fun with this, or maybe you 100% believe what you're about to tell us.
And here's the thing. I don't want you, I would like it if you didn't go to your friends or go to Twitter and say, well, KNC said this.
Yes.
These are all, as the great Randy Galloway used to say, grassy knolls.
Ooh.
These are all conspiracy theories of what's actually going on, because I, Kevin, do not, I've thought from step one, this was content driven.
Yes.
Because TNT used to know drama. They used to say that. That was their saying.
That's true.
But Jerry Jones proved with The Gambler, he knows drama.
Can we also add in what the great Chuck Morgan would say? This is for entertainment purposes only.
Yes.
No yes. wagering, please. All right. So obviously the conspiracy theory that I'm going to go with, which I 100% know that there are numerous folks out there, both in and out of media, who believe this is the case, is you had to get, Micah needed to get spotted going onto the plane and needed to leak out the idea that he was going to get another opinion from a doctor. I think my conspiracy theory would be he is seeking out a predetermined opinion from a doctor that will give him leverage to not play for the Cowboys while also not getting fined game checks. And that same predetermined MRI would miraculously disappear the second he signed a new contract.
Mm.
So that would be the conspiracy theory that I have. I am willing to bet that other folks believe that as well.
Okay. How much are you willing to bet?
Well, as I just said, no wagering, please.
Oh, yeah,
that
that's
was a turn of a phrase, so I will, in fact, not bet on that. So I'll rephrase. I'm thinking a lot of people might be thinking that, too.
All right.
How about that?
What kind of play you want to make on that?
Oh, my gosh. Stop it!
All right, so
I told you, Jeremiah Smith and Arch Manning are the ones to keep an eye out on for the Texas-Ohio State game.
That is true. He did tell you. My conspiracy theory at the moment, 877-881-1053. What is your Micah conspiracy theory? My conspiracy, not about necessarily the flight that we that he got on very publicly, but my conspiracy has been from the beginning that this was that meeting where Jerry and Micah sat down was a timeline meeting. And they started looking here's where we need to start dropping things publicly in the media so that we can keep this story going. Not necessarily because they don't have a contender on their hands, but because Jerry knows that if there's no story, the Cowboys are irrelevant. And he's very big on that anyway. So he's like, I need at least a story. If otherwise it's my, you know, they're going to be focusing on Dak and the offense and things are bad. So we need something to kind of, to be dramatic, to take over the storyline.
So,
and in every great soap opera, there's always the one that you care about more. The one storyline that you care about. You're like, I could do without these other ones. This one's the one that everybody seems to care about more. So this is all very, they went through the timeline, and this move that he just made, getting on the plane, was a predetermined move. That they'd already said, look, you make your plays, I'll make mine. We won't get hurt about any of it because it's all part of the game.
All right, so you'll love this one from the 817. The deal has already been made for some time. They're keeping it quiet to stay relevant in the media. From the 817, man, I do not want to be a part of this one. My conspiracy theory is all the media has gotten together and paid Micah not to sign so they can have something to talk about.
Dude, we don't have that much money.
Lazy and crappy media. Is what you should have added in there.
But they don't have that much.
I know. But I'm saying good media doesn't want to talk about this because I said this 6 months ago. Corey, I know you've probably believed this for more than 6 years. I also think this ends with the deal getting done, everyone smiling, Jerry being like, we knew we had to have him on the field. And like
Micah who?
Yeah.
Remember they made shirts? They made shirts out of Zeke who?
Exactly. And so all of that's going to be taken care of and everyone's going to be smiling and I never wanted to leave the Cowboys. It was all negotiation, blah, 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 blah. And the number will come out as a number that makes the Cowboys look foolish and continue to be inept at negotiating. I believe that is all done. That's why we haven't talked about it a whole ton on our show. And then you get a lot of people are like, why aren't you talking more about Micah? Because I think a lot of this is fake.
From the 817, just wanted to let y'all know I started a Back to the Future DeLorean Lego set the other day. Oh. I'm very pumped for the final product. Even Khaki Kevin right there is pretty excited about it.
I have that one, so that's
you
a good set.
You do?
I do.
Man. Okay. I'm sorry.
Changed everything.
I need to focus on the 817, show. But
Micah wanted to have a part in the Jerry Jones Gambler, but he said no. So Micah said, I'll put my own soap opera together. That's a good theory.
Okay.
What about this conspiracy? The one that started this, Kevin, this question for me, that the Cowboys are having him hold out so that they can throw off the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, I love the idea of not showing anything. They didn't show anything defensively in the preseason. How many starters played? Like, very few during the preseason at all. So as Mickey pointed out, personnel-wise, the Eagles kind of have to look at a lot of different things. Go, we don't know how they work together anywhere.
Right.
But the theory would be that you're really going to throw off the Giants in week two. But it's week one that you're focusing on. You got to take down the Philadelphia Eagles.
Look, man, if you're able to throw off another team after week one,
okay,
then that team is just sucks.
All right.
At scouting. Oh, well, he played in that first game. Maybe he wasn't going to play again.
Well, what if he did this then? He plays the first three quarters, takes the fourth quarter off, and everybody's like, oh, no, he was hurt. And then he comes out and he's like, oh, yeah, definitely. And he says, no, I wasn't hurt. I just didn't want to play a fourth quarter, and that's how it's going to be. And then all week, they're like, is he even going to play against the Giants? And the Giants are like, we didn't even scout Micah. We don't know what to do. Bam. Then you got 2 weeks in a row where you've thrown off NFC East opponents.
Well, I remain committed that the Giants should probably totally rethink their leadership group if that is the case. From the 901, biggest conspiracy theory, he says he wants to win and wants a ring, but he really only cares about money and celebrity. Now, that feels more like their current opinion as opposed to a conspiracy theory. But Broadus has said this, I believe, the last 2 days, is he believes Micah regrets like going to Jerry and the way the situation has played out. And I stand firm by this. I understand to a certain extent the pressure that the NFLPA can put on other players, especially top-end players. But at the end of the day, your agent, no matter how powerful they are, works for you. And if they're not working for you, go get a different agent because you will still get plenty of money. And I wonder if Micah is to the point where he's like 43, 40 and a half. I need to get on the field and I need you to work for me and get the deal done, even if it's 2.5 per year less.
You've read Rich Dad Poor Dad before, right?
What is it called?
Rich Dad Poor Dad. It's a how to make money book, you got different ways, real estate, paper, you got different ways to make money. And one of the things that he says in the book is if I go in on a real estate project and my agent can't make me 14%, then I don't want that agent anymore. I want a 14% return on my investment.
Right.
And so that's the number he sets there. And my theory on this, Kevin, is why do you hire an agent, though, if you're not going to let him do his job? If you're going to tell him, hey, you work for me, well, then let me do my job here. Let me get this thing done. But that being said, if they're not getting you the return you want, you can very well say, then I will go find another one. That's a reality, too.
I guess I would disagree with that analogy, because don't you think that real estate person is probably just doing it for the money? Like, do you think they love real estate?
Do you think
Mike? I'm saying for Micah, I think Micah loves football. So the real,
yeah, and I love real estate and I want you to go make me the money.
Okay.
But
I don't know if I think that person loves real estate in that analogy.
Okay.
I think they love money.
All right.
And so I think Micah is getting to the point where he's like, just get the deal done.
And that's what I'm saying, though, is like you can always fire your agent. That's always a reality. Yeah. But if he's not doing the work because you won't let him and the owner won't let him, because somebody said this, Their conspiracy is Jerry's trying to push agents out of the game completely. Player only focus on money, not fine print. Owners get away with things by not having agents in the way.
And I believe that.
Like he's already said. I know what's interesting about this is during the Deion Sanders part of The Gambler, they go in and Jerry says, I got his agent in one room. I got Eugene Parker in one room and Deion in another. And I went to talk to the agent first. Yet he's told us he never talks to agents.
Yeah.
So that's another weird.
Sometimes he says things that are not entirely factually accurate.
Yeah.
All right, Kevin Walker, do you have a Micah Parsons conspiracy theory?
Y'all have kind of already hinted at it. I think that my conspiracy theory would be that they're purposely delaying to sign him until the day of the Philadelphia Eagles game so they can spoil the ring ceremony and they'll send Micah out there.
I like that. And so he doesn't get hit by a car.
He don't even have to play. They can just sign him.
So this is the...
And that would spoil the ceremony because it would attract all the attention.
That's true.
The entire broadcast.
Right. I concede.
We'll be like, can y'all believe it? And they'll be like, hey, we've got one of these Super Bowl rings. They'll be like, yeah, but Micah just signed.
I concede.
I like that.
Much like, was it yesterday with the engagement or the day before with the engagement that I think that Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift getting married on July 4th could undercut the celebration of our 250th birthday. So I agree. It's that big of a deal in some media circles that perhaps that could happen. Now, I like this from the 817, my conspiracy theory. Mark my words. They put that in all caps. Tomorrow, the deal will be done and it will break on KNC. While we're at Uncle Julio's in Frisco. And then Jerry will call in and say, chocolate pinatas for everybody.
Dude, Jerry.
I don't know about that.
I know for a fact that Jerry loves a chocolate pinata. Like, that's like, who doesn't? Like, right. Everybody loves a chocolate pinata. So I know for a fact that he does. I did see, I think it was Woolchuck had retweeted this, and it was Dan Graziano saying on NFL Network. Here's the quote, Kevin. Based on conversations that we were having yesterday and last night, that a resolution feels like it might be pretty close. Now, what that resolution is, I think, is still up in the air. Then added, I think in the next couple of days, maybe by the end of the weekend, we could have some resolution on this one way or another. So that was his quote, Dan Graziano, who's NFL insider. So whether, I don't know exactly where to take that, but that could be just another part of the conspiracy theory.
I know I said I think it's all predetermined and bought and paid for. I have a hard time believing that season opener, Cowboys, Eagles, Micah's not on the field. I know people have talked about he might not be on the field all the way. I get all that. I just have a hard time believing he won't be there.
If Diggs is on the field, I don't think he's going to be out there 100% of the snaps.
Agreed.
And I think the only person that's going to get 100%, man, except for in my grand scheme, Dak is the only person I think is going to get 100% of the snaps. Maybe your offensive lineman.
Yeah.
But the defensive line, they're not going to do that. But Dak and the offensive lineman. But if my grand scheme of things and Joe Milton has a couple snaps to surprise the Philadelphia Eagles.
I like that idea.
Yeah, listen to that one, Shoddy.
By the way, somebody texted in and said we should invite Jerry Jones to Uncle Julio's.
He's always invited Uncle Julio's.
All right. Spread the word. You can get to Jerry, right?
I've known him for a long time.
Okay. Jerry, come to Uncle Julio's tomorrow. It's pretty close to the start.
It's very close.
2401 Preston Road in Frisco. I'll tell you what. I make you this promise right here, right now. That Micah Parsons deal is done by the time our show happens tomorrow, any point in our show tomorrow, I will buy you a margarita and a chocolate pinata. Gosh. Jerry, all you got to do... come on down to Uncle Julio's. Get the deal done. I will buy you both of those things or give you the cash equivalent.
Yeah. And if I was him, the first thing I'd say to us is, guys, where is Uncle Julio? Like, that would be the first thing I would ask us.
Actually,
I wanted to meet the man before I started sat down at his establishment.
I actually could see that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Now it's time for the most controversial segment of the day. It's Masterpiece Theater. What was the single best film performance of the past 25 years? We'll do it next right here on The Fan. Now, Kevin Walker, I don't want you to feel bad. We will get you a plethora of Mike Bassick ad reads And you just sounded like Walter Cronkite right there compared to him. So don't worry about it.
I'm pretty sure Kevin this morning said he was going to give away a town. My first thought, Kevin, was,
oh man,
which town would you want to give away the most?
Imagination Land.
That's a good place. Back to you, Kevin.
All right. But yes, you're doing a good job. Thank you very much. All right. Wanted to give you a sports update. Caden Scarborough. So MLB.com had their list of fastest rising pitching prospects in each system. So Caden Scarborough, who we've talked about a few different times, he got moved up to high A after five innings of no hit ball. And then he followed up with five innings of one hit ball with nine strikeouts in his debut at high A. Scarborough has allowed one or fewer runs in seven of his last eight starts before the promotion. Since the promotion, he's gone 16 innings since he gave up an earned run.
Wow.
He has a 2.7 ERA with 104 strikeouts in 80 innings.
Dang.
This season. So, high A still a ways away, but a positive thing right there.
Yeah, Scarborough's fair.
Okay.
What?
You did not care actually, about any of what I just said, did you?
I didn't hear a word you said.
Yeah.
All I wanted to do was get
see,
that one in there.
I figured. All right. Right now, it's time for some Masterpiece Theater. So this came from a list on The Ringer, that some of which I think is tremendous. There are others that I don't quite agree with, but that's fine. The 101 best movie performances of the 21st century. So we asked the question, what do you think was the single greatest movie performance of the past 25 years? And just to show that maybe The Ringer was doing some bits along the way, number 101 is Kevin Garnett as himself in Uncut.
You think they were doing bits, or do you think he actually did a good performance?
Being
himself.
It was a good performance.
There are plenty of actors who are just themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Julia Roberts was the first one, right?
Yeah.
That's the one everybody kind of points to and goes, yeah, Julia Roberts. She's the same person in everything.
I feel that way with Olivia Munn. And she's
okay.
Like, have you ever seen her where she's kind of like a sassy, back-talking, strong lady?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, I've seen her in that before.
Everything that she's ever done.
I found it interesting, the most nominated roles for it was Denzel Washington and Philip Seymour Hoffman. Two
makes sense.
Fantastic actors.
Makes sense. And by the way, it's not going to be Philip Seymour Hoffman hate as this segment goes along. It's the fact that the movie The Master sucks and they have two entries in the top 10. It's boring.
I've never seen it, and I'm not sure I wanted to. But since it's on this list, I feel like I have to.
You don't.
I mean, it's got two nominees in the top 10.
Yeah, and that doesn't change the fact that it's boring as hell. All right, so out of the top 50 performances, I've seen 35 these because I know how to party. But would you like to go first with your single greatest performance in film in the last 25 years? By the way, I think somebody said Green Mile. I believe that came out in 1999. So this is since 2000.
There are plenty in the top 10 that I agree with. I thought, Kevin, number 48 was too low for this guy's character. This guy's, and that was J.K. Simmons in Whiplash.
You think I'm f***ing stupid?
What?
I know it was you.
That dude, right? Dude. It was hard to find audio for this because
he swears a lot in that movie.
A lot of, yes, that too. But a lot of the intense moments in that movie were actual drum scenes, like them playing the drums.
Plus, don't you think Simmons did a really good job with the looks?
The way he stared you down and the way he was disappointed. I was nauseous for Miles Teller during watching that movie because of how, and J.K. Simmons, like, I think the line they put in there is a very fine line to walk between being hateable and likable and all those things. And he did it. J.K. Simmons did it perfectly.
Do you ever feel bad for Miles Teller? I feel like he doesn't get enough credit for
a bunch of really good movies.
And like, but specifically in that movie, and he learned how to drum. Oh, yeah. I think he's really good at that movie. It's just unfortunate that he goes up against that.
Yeah.
Like, what are you supposed to do?
A character that is Darth Vader-like in hate. You know, like, by the end of that movie, you hate J.K. Simmons, and you're rooting for Miles Teller's character. So I just thought that one was way too low, and I think it should be. I thought it should be a top 10 performance, not number 48.
Yeah, no, I think I am inclined to. I'm inclined to agree with you for sure. All right, Kevin Walker, do you have a vote for the greatest film performance of the last 25 years?
I do, actually, and one that I've seen recently, but it took me a while to get to. Would it be a list without Matthew McConaughey? And no, I'm not talking about Interstellar, Dallas Buyers Club.
What are you doing here?
Well, I live here.
Where's Rayon? Your roommates?
Not exactly. What are you doing here?
Roger Thompson. This is my patient. You treating these people?
Oh, they're treating themselves.
With what?
Vitamins, peptide T, DDC, anything but that poison you're hawking.
Woo! Dallas Buyers Club!
Anything that poison you're hawking. I haven't seen this movie.
It's very good.
I feel like, I mean,
him and Leto are excellent in that movie.
They won awards for what they did.
Did they both win in a 10?
I think Leto did.
Okay.
Did he not? Anyway, I know he gave a speech after he won an award once, Matthew McConaughey, that is. But I haven't seen it, but it was one of those where I was like, do I want to put myself in that place? And I didn't want to at the time. I just wanted something funny. So I probably should go back and check that one out because I've heard nothing but great things.
I didn't know what it was about. And by the title of it, it didn't entirely inform me on what it was about. So I just started the movie and was instantly shocked. And then I was like, well, I've got to finish this now.
Yeah.
So,
yes. And you really liked it, I take it.
It was a very good movie.
Now, from the 817, Daniel Day-Lewis in Lincoln. You know you're a good actor when multiple people are texting in the thing that is not even your top on the list. So, Daniel Day-Lewis.
You said you wanted Daniel Day-Lewis to play you in a movie because he can play anybody.
Yeah, he'll figure it out. Like, he'll figure it out. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he'll figure it out. And then randomly at some point, he'll be like, I drink your milkshake?
That's such a weird line.
So
I still don't get it.
He's phenomenal. Go watch it. Even in the context, you'll get it. But yeah, go watch that movie. It is phenomenal. So I'm going to run through the top five on this list. I'm going to tell you the one that I think it should be. Naomi Watts in Mulholland Drive is number one. And I know that Bobby loves that movie. I have to admit, I have not seen that movie. Daniel Day-Lewis in There Will Be Blood is second. Philip Seymour Hoffman in The Master is third. I think that movie sucks.
But you don't think that he's a...
No.
You think he's a great actor.
He is a great actor. I just think that that movie is super boring, and it's tough for me to give him credit for that. Cate Blanchett as Lydia Tarr in Tar, where she is the conductor. And I almost voted for this one. I really almost voted for this one. Tell me if you think cut number 11. Could this be the greatest single film performance of the past 25 years?
How much? 69, see? And the gas.
Y'all getting any rain up your way?
What way would that be?
I've seen you was from Dallas.
What business is it of yours? Where I'm from? Friendo?
Dude. All right, go ahead and pause it right. Go ahead and stop it right there. Because Javier Bardem is terrifying in that movie. I had nightmares about people murdering me with that air gun or whatever.
Michael Myers, him.
Yes.
You think that he's gone and he just walks slow.
That movie, I think like the first two thirds of that movie are tremendous. I feel like the way they wrapped it up, not really satisfying for me. I think that is a viable candidate. Let's go to cut number 12, would you consider, you mentioned it, most nominations, Denzel Washington. Is this his best performance in the past 25 years?
Oh, you must love this. Okay. All right. I'm putting cases on all you b****s. Huh?
There's a lot of swearing in this one, too.
Jay! You think you can do this to me?
Mm.
You little punks will be playing basketball in Pelican Bay when I get finished with you. Shoe program, brother. 23-hour lockdown. I'm the man up in this piece. You'll never see the light of day. Who the hell you think you messing with? I'm the police. I run things here. You just live here.
All right, guys, let's cut it off right there.
Oh, dude, I got to go watch the movie again right now.
Denzel Washington also looked like he was having the most fun in the world playing that role, because he's like, oh, Denzel's a bad guy.
And
he's like,
it was a finally moment.
Yeah, and he's like, yeah, and watch, I'll be the best bad guy you've ever seen.
Yeah.
And like at the time, it felt stunning. That movie is really good. He is awesome.
He was on a run right then, movie. Too. Like, Remember the Titans, Training yes. Day, Man on Fire, Manchurian Candidate, Inside Man, American Gangster.
Ooh, Inside Man is really good.
Book of Eli. Like, he had a run right there that just, Two Guns. Like, gah.
And that's another.
I don't know if you've seen Two Guns, Kevin, yes. But that should be a top 15 at least.
Yes, I have.
By both him and Mark Wahlberg.
I feel like Ethan Hawke, I feel bad for him in that movie because I think he's very good
Ethan
in that
Hawke
movie.
Ethan Hawke was great
well.
In that movie.
But he doesn't matter compared to Denzel. And then we get from the 940, Jamie Foxx in Ray, Christoph Waltz in Inglourious Basterds.
He was really good.
That's
in that
number
movie.
14. On the list, Leonardo DiCaprio in Wolf of Wall Street. I believe that's like 12-ish.
From the 972, they said blasphemy not having Heath Ledger.
Wait! We're building up to that.
In the top five.
We're building up to it. But
so they said.
It's as close as you can get to the top five without being in the top five. But I do agree. Leonardo DiCaprio's 13, not 12. By the way, I saw this. A couple of people have said Tom Cruise in Tropic Thunder not being in the top 10.
It is pretty genius.
So my wife had never seen that movie. We watched it a few weeks ago. She certainly understood, while perhaps some people don't care for it. And at the very end, she goes, "That's Tom Cruise?" And I was like, "Yes, that was Tom Cruise." Now, you mentioned it.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Because he's not in the top
five. He isn't in the top five. It's blasphemy.
But he's number six. So look, I don't know if that makes it any better, but he did say the top five. If you've ever seen any of the like comics of Frank Miller and different things along that line, and you were like, man, I would love to see this version of not only Batman, but of the other characters in the Batman universe, I finally decided to go with cut number 10. This, I think, is the best performance in film in the past 25 years.
Even to a guy like me, that's cold.
Where's Dent?
Those mob fools want you gone so they can get back to the way things were. But I know the truth. There's no going back. You've changed things. Forever.
Then why do you want to kill me?
I don't want to kill you. What would I do without you? Go back to ripping off mob dealers? No. You complete me.
This is a guy that was in 10 Things I Hate About You.
I know, it's crazy.
A Knight's Tale. You know, like, you're like, okay, I get it. And then he drops off a amazing performance like that. And again, as you said, gives you... He recreated the Joker character for other people to follow.
Yes.
Like there was this kind of campy version of him.
Yes.
And then whenever I was like, I want to do a version of that instead.
Oh yeah. And I feel bad for the actors who were like, that's what I wanted to do. And you're like, well, you missed your chance.
Yeah.
Like, and so this is one of two movies I could think of where studio executives saw it and they're like, hey, what is he doing? Because the other one was Jack Sparrow in Pirates of the Caribbean. Like, the studio executives saw the film and they're like, what is this? This is no.
And they were like, acting.
Yeah.
I know you're a studio exec and you're trying to sell something. This is called acting.
And then both of those obviously turned out to be iconic performances. But yeah, that was the word. Is some people saw Heath Ledger on the set and they were like, oh my God, this is terrifying and it's going to be amazing. And other people are like, No. What is this?
Yeah.
Clearly, the former proved to be correct. And so I did see a whole lot of people vote for that, although Javier Bardem is getting a ton of love as well. I think Heath Ledger is that's the performance for me. But I there are so many great performances. And yeah, the rest of the top 10, Heath Ledger as a Joker, number 6, Denzel Washington from Training Day at 7, Jesse Eisenberg from The Social Network at number 8.
I'll give Cillian Murphy in Oppenheimer. He's 30th. I think that one could go up a little higher, too. He was really good. And he's good in every, like, Peaky yes. Blinders, he's phenomenal.
And I think he's great in 28 Days Later.
Yep,
he's a good actor. As well. Joaquin Phoenix from The Master, so clearly The Ringer, love The Master. Me, not so much. And then Kirsten Dunst in Melancholia. If you've never seen Melancholia, it's very strange. If you're looking for a movie that pretty much has a straightforward narrative, this might not be the movie for you. If you're looking for a movie that is super weird, entertaining as hell at times, confusing at others, and has nudity, this might be the movie for you.
I like what you just said.
Okay. That's how we tried to sell Colby back in the day on Love Actually.
Things are going
to
blow up.
It has Hans Gruber, Liam Neeson, and there's nudity. He said it had love in the title, though, so he refused to watch it. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy Picks for the top awards a week out from the start of the NFL season. Next on The Fan.
Jackson will keep this time. And look at the speed. Lamar Jackson is gone. Touchdown, 48 yards.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. What say we go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy?
Dip it and rip it.
I like that. Now, Corey, I thought you would be fascinated by this. Did you see that the Browns signed Bailey Zappe, the quarterback, to their practice squad?
It's frustrating that they got rid of Kenny Pickett.
They need more quarterbacks.
And Huntley, and don't have 7 quarterbacks. That's the thing that's most infuriating right, about all of
right.
this.
Yeah.
I wanted them to have all the quarterbacks.
Okay.
Which essentially has happened in Cleveland over yes. the last 30 years.
Yes.
Like, they've had all the quarterbacks and they've been like, none of them are good.
Want everybody to know that this part, go ahead.
Let me ask you this question.
Sure.
You know, we often ask if a person has had so many dates and then they're, hey, at what point is it you that's the problem?
Right.
At what point will Cleveland look at themselves and go, maybe it's not the quarterbacks?
Well, we're going on year 30 here, so maybe they still got some more time. I'm sorry. Is that not the answer you're looking for? This is a sports story. But since Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift got engaged, his jersey sales went up 200% in the span of 2 days.
I got a theory on this.
Tell me.
A bunch of Swifties went out and bought the jersey, obviously.
Mm.
Right? And a bunch of guys who have girlfriends who are Swifties or are being manipulated by those girls.
Oh, my goodness.
They said, hey, if you get me the Travis Kelce jersey, I will wear it for you, if you know what I mean.
Oh,
and
the
so,
no pants thing. I got gotcha. You.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
And a dance.
All right. Oh, all right. Let's go from that to NFL predictions for the top awards in the league. Who would be your pick right now for MVP?
Caleb Williams.
Ooh.
That would be my dark horse pick. That would be a very dark horse pick.
So NFL.com, 11 votes for Lamar Jackson, 9 for Burrow. For Mahomes, Jalen Hurts got 2, and then Jaden Daniels, Baker Mayfield.
Oh, Jaden Daniels,
and
yeah.
Bo Nix each got 1 vote.
Okay, all right.
None for Josh Allen.
It's interesting with Joe Burrow because you pointed out the other day how the discrepancy in it's your team,
unbelievable.
No matter how good you are,
you
weren't good enough to transcend for your team to win those games.
Absolutely.
You're like, I did everything I could.
Yes. And it wasn't enough.
And then Trey Hendrickson out here won a new contract.
Offensive player of the year. Who would be your vote?
Jahmyr Gibbs.
Jahmyr Gibbs tied for 2nd with Bijan.
All right. Bijan Robinson.
Okay. I just told
Look,
you.
Look, I got two of the top three.
Okay.
Saquon Barkley.
You know what? Now I hope you lose. Kevin Walker, who is your pick for offensive player of the year? I really hope he gets this.
No,
that does not inspire confidence.
Jamar Chase.
That is correct!
Dude.
Yes!
Proud
you
of
just
you,
got
man.
Shielded right there. Jamar Chase is number one on the list, followed by Jahmyr Gibbs and Bijan Robinson tied for second. Saquon and Derrick Henry tied for fourth. Defensive player of the year.
Sorry. You know, we did a conspiracy theory segment earlier.
Correct.
From the 817. People are trying to get the Kelce jerseys before the name changes to Swift. That's their conspiracy theory.
Can you, I'm not kidding about this, can you fathom?
The outrage?
No.
There would be
yes,
outrage.
You're right, 100%. Can you imagine Travis Kelce plays this season? They get married on July 4th to Undercut America.
Like you've always predicted.
And then Travis Swift now plays one more year with that jersey. Like, you couldn't print those fast enough.
No, you couldn't.
To sell them.
They wouldn't have enough material to make them.
I agree. Defensive player of the year. What is your prediction?
Micah Parsons.
Micah Parsons, second on the list with 5 votes.
Miles Garrett.
Miles Garrett, third on the list with 4 votes. I go to Kevin Walker once again for the Family Feud style steal. Let's see if he can get it done back to back. Who is the pick for defensive player of the year?
T.J. Watt?
T.J. Watt only got 1 vote. Will Anderson.
Really?
NFL.com's pick for defensive
I would not have said that.
Player of the
I
year.
I wouldn't have either, but
that was tough.
The dude's a good player. Like, he's fantastic. So.
Absolutely, absolutely. Offensive Rookie of the Year, Ashton Jeanty. Defensive Rookie of the Year, Abdul Carter. Comeback Player of the Year, Aiden Hutchinson. And Coach of the Year, who would be your pick? For Coach of the Year.
Ben Johnson.
Ben Johnson is, in fact, number one on the list.
Dang it.
Followed by...
I screwed that up. Kevin.
You really did. Mike Vrabel, Sean Payton, and then Dan Campbell, and the other guy I know you've talked about quite a bit, Pete Carroll, tied for fourth on that list. All right.
It's a good list.
It is a good list.
Where's McCarthy?
I have terrible news for you, Corey. He got... He's out.
No!
Cabo list.
Oh, yeah. Man. He didn't make it.
When did this happen?
I feel like you talked about it a lot. So something to keep an eye on. Good news for the Broncos. Marvin Mims, he left practice yesterday. That's not the good news with a groin injury. But the team is evaluating him and is said to be not overly concerned. That's a Frisco Lone Star product right there. Go from that to some more details have come out. And again, allegations, but that Shaq Mason, per the police report, allegedly choked out the mother of his child before he was arrested. So the allegation is that Mason broke into the woman's home at 3 o'clock in the morning, made his way into the bedroom, choked her out, allegedly punched her in the mouth before saying that he was going to kill her.
Dang.
That is
that's not okay, bro.
Yeah, that is horrifying. And as we always say, accusations and police reports, that is what they are until we get any more information. But
I feel like I've been on a real good comedic roll this morning and you just crushed that vibe.
I'm sorry, but
that's a tough one right there, man.
Yeah, he is currently a free agent and
he would be until... anything's resolved, right?
I think technically you could sign him.
No, but if you're a team, like
there is no chance in hell that, I would sign him with all of this kind of lingering out in the world. And by the way, if you're hoping for big and better things for Anthony Richardson, Shane Steichen said, we'll see if he gets short yardage packages at least. So, that didn't maybe sound super optimistic either. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we'll try to get back to comedic fun for Corey. And we'll do some NFL overreaction or reality right here on The Fan.